We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Secretary Pryor, as we know, Citizens Bank is in talks to build a new corporate campus somewhere in Rhode Island. This would seem to indicate that the idea of moving the workforce of Citizens Bank to the Superman building is dead. Is that how you view it?
You know, I'm very careful not to talk about the precise discussions with any given company, but I will tell you that we're very pleased that Citizens Bank has recommitted itself to Rhode Island. Banks that are headquartered here, like Citizens, they're constantly being pulled to other states with all kinds of lures and all kinds of incentives. They've doubled down. They're conducting their space search. We are quite involved with dialogue with them, and we're so pleased that at the highest levels of leadership, the bank is paying attention to what Rhode Island has to offer.
Meanwhile, there seems to be no forward motion on reusing the Superman building. It's just a vortex in downtown Providence. Is there anything that your administration, the Raimondo administration, is willing to do to try and bring a new use to the Superman building if this idea of Citizens does not work out?
Yes. I mean, it's a big building. It's a gorgeous building. You know, you can fit in excess of 2,000 employees in that building. It's a non-trivial transaction, and trying to get it done is a big undertaking. That one will not happen overnight. There's a lot of work to be done. But so, I will say that the building owner and the city of Providence and we are in intensive dialogue, creative dialogue about what might be done.
Let's go to Scott.
Is that building obsolete?
It isn't. Now, the floor plates are not modern. The ceiling heights are non-ideal, and mm-hmm. there are other features that are not the way you'd build them today, but that building is gorgeous. The mm-hmm. lobby is exquisite. You could never build it again today. The exterior, the way it lights up the skyline, if mm-hmm. it's properly lit, it's extraordinary, and we should do something beautiful with it.
The budget passed by the General Assembly in June included most of the incentives sought by the Raimondo administration. How would you assess the effectiveness of those incentives toward the goal of stimulating economic development?
We're very pleased with the attention that we've received as a result of those incentives. With credit to the governor, Speaker Mattiello, and Senate President Pivoweed, a lot of attention. We've recently debuted the applications for the Rebuild Rhode Island tax credit. That's the real estate tax credit that fills up to 20% of project costs in an important project, in a catalytic project in Rhode Island. And we're very pleased that we set a deadline, an initial deadline for the program right before Thanksgiving, and we received 30 applications of different types. So the market is responding. Now, some of those applications are incomplete or will be judged incomplete. Some of them need to undertake work, even though they may be technically complete. Doesn't mean that we have 30 ready to go projects or that we can afford them. But it's a good sign that the market is responding.
Before we go back to Scott, when will the selections be made on the Rebuild Rhode Island Incentive Fund applications?
We'd expect that the first set of decisions will be made as soon as early in the new year.
Shortly after winning election, the governor said that she did not want to be the governor to lose the Pawtucket Red Sox on her watch. It doesn't look like we're making progress one way or another there. What's next for the Paw Sox, and what's the administration doing about it?
You know, it's important that everyone have a chance to take a breath. There was a really intensive dialogue that happened. The Paw Sox are a treasured team. We do want to keep the Paw Sox in Rhode Island, but I think it's healthy that everyone's just taking a breather for a moment.
The highly regarded startup incubator known as the Cambridge Innovation Center is considering building a center in Providence. This seems closely related to Wexford Science and Technology's proposal for the I-195 district. What will it take to make Cambridge Innovation Center have a facility in Providence?
Fortunately, they are very interested at the Cambridge Innovation Center in creating a replication or a new version in Rhode Island at the 195 site. Governor Raimondo and I have personally visited the Cambridge Innovation Center, mm-hmm. The original in Cambridge. It's spectacular. It's one of those incubator workspaces that radiates energy of the positive type. They've got workspaces that are ideal for tech and other startup and early stage companies.
What will it take to convince them to come to Rhode Island?
We, together with CV, the developer, Dick Alvin, and Wexford, are in heavy dialogue with CIC. We're optimistic, but can't take these things for granted. We're in heavy dialogue and negotiations around the possibility.
We're talking here with State Commerce Secretary Stephen Pryor, and now back to Scott.
I'm wondering, Governor Raimondo's at a 46% approval rating. Charlie Baker in Massachusetts is 74. Why do you think that is? Is it just the economy?
I think it's because Governor Raimondo is the kind of politician, a rare type of politician, who focuses on getting the job done for her citizens, for Rhode Islanders, focuses on making the right decisions.
Well, why would that lead to a low approval rating?
Sometimes she's probably taking on controversies that can cause a dip in the polls, cause a rise in the polls. She's a governor who took on pension reform in her previous life prior to the gubernatorial term. She's proven that she's the kind of leader who makes a long-term difference. And in the end, also is successful politically. That's the right kind of politician to be.
Speaking of controversies, the administration was criticized when former state rep Don Lally was hired only 4 months after he stepped down as a lawmaker. He is on loan to the Department of Business Regulation, which is one of the agencies under your portfolio. So what would you point to as far as work being done by Don Lally, who was touted as having a remarkable skill set that justifies his employment?
Well, it's a tremendous advantage that this administration views it as important to provide more human resources, more people capable of conducting the work of helping businesses cut through red tape, helping them navigate the system, people who are knowledgeable in the system. It's enormously helpful. And the example you cite is just one example. We've also been given a larger budget at the Commerce Corporation, and we are actively hiring into the newly created positions and some vacant positions. We're creating a broad team and a deep team capable of carrying out the work. We've got tens of millions of dollars in new resources, in new financial incentives, in new small business loan dollars. We've got to make sure that we have the capacity to carry out that work.
One of the problems that Rhode Island's had for eons is the fact that our workforce is not as well educated as our New England neighbors, with the exception of Maine. I know the governor's focused on this, but I'm wondering, how long does it take us to catch up?
We do have a lot of work to do on the workforce development front. The Real Jobs Rhode Island program is proving very popular among businesses and proving very effective. We've got industry groups organizing themselves and, for the first time in memory anyway, really with great specificity, telling us, the government, what they need. What does industry need in the way of talent and workforce development? In addition, we've created a new Wave Maker Fellowship program, which provides for loan repayment for Rhode Island students graduating from Rhode Island institutions, or even going off to college and coming back, helps them make their loan payments if they enter the STEM fields, the tech fields. That's going to help to fuel industries here. It's an innovative program. We think it's going to be spectacularly successful, and we're looking forward to supporting it over the long term.
What are your top legislative goals for 2016?
For the most part, we're focused at the moment on implementing our programs. We were blessed by the governor and the General Assembly with over a dozen new funded programs. We're implementing them. We will no doubt have tweaks to them to propose, some expansions, maybe even some contractions, and some new ideas. We're in the midst of a process with the Brookings Institution and some other partners in brainstorming about the future of the economy and the steps that we might need to take. I would expect that there'd be some outgrowth of that process that would lead to some proposals in the legislative session as well.
We're out of time, so we need to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And Commerce Secretary Stephen Pryor.
Thank you, Ian and Scott.